The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I have to tell you about Massachusetts, though.
Oh, yes.
I caused the biggest shitstorm on that floor. We had a whip operation, which were those bright vests and the flags that, like, if there was an issue during the boat,
like an air traffic controller.
I know. We all looked like ground crew. To be able to, like, be very visible and put up a flag, a literal red flag, if there was an issue during the vote, because we were supposed to have meaningful observation of the entire process. So we start the whip operation during the lieutenant governor vote, and it descends into chaos. I had a small section at first of six people. I then turn around and I jump down from the bleachers onto the floor into another section for First Essex and Middlesex. It's chaos. Their vote counter won't start because she doesn't like people observing her. And so we had to get legal counsel over from both the state party and us to say, no, they're allowed to stand over you and look at the tally and fight this during it. So we're like, she delayed it. And then state party tried to say, we're wrapping the vote. I got the entire section losing their shit. They're all chanting, no, no, no. They're just losing their minds. And then they tried again. They're like, okay, all the tallies are in, and the section loses its shit again. They're like, we're still voting, like chanting, like losing their shit. So finally, state party stops trying to stop them. We finish the lieutenant governor vote. Chaos. We then go to the governor's ballot, and I now have this crowd so fucking worked up, I can't calm them down. So I'm on the radio like, I need help. I need help. Someone get over here now.
Send
I'm not
in Connor.
Even I was like, we've got people everywhere and they're very angry. I've done that. I've made everyone very angry. I was getting everybody chanting. I like started a mob. I couldn't stop. But when it came to the governor's vote, they split the town in two. They like split it in two, so it was smaller. We got it done. They were like, it's 30 minutes for the governor's vote. I'm like on the headset. I was like, get council over there and start fighting the timing. That's an arbitrary rule they're making mid-vote to try and suppress the vote.
Oh,
knock
my.
It off. Like, go
stop
fight
the
state
steal.
Immediately, some guy pulls up his phone, puts a stop clock on it, and is like, "This is, they said 30 minutes, and our tally voter's not even here yet." Like, they were angry. I was like, "Everybody's gonna vote. Don't worry, they will not shut this vote." Like, we were like,
"You're a rabble rouser."
Monster. I was my most monstrous self on the floor. And then we won with 70.38% of the vote.
Ooh, that's more than I thought you would.
It wasn't even like I did all of that and like we barely won. Like Mike dominated. And so it was, I mean, it was peak politics. It's one of those moments you really only get if you actually still do this. And a woman came up to me at one point and goes, "You look like a lady who does Gutfeld a lot and is on Fox News. Has anybody ever told you that?" And I said, "No, that's me." And she goes, "Wait, what?
You're celebrity.
You're air." Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And like had this full fangirl moment as she is in my section. She's in my section as I'm like starting this floor riot. So she sees me on TV and she's like, "Oh my God, you're so good. You're so great." And then she sees me at work and she's like, "So this is what you do for work?" I was like, "Sometimes this is what I do for work." Yeah.
Sometimes. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
It was monstrous. So needless to say, it was hilarious. We won big. Mike got the endorsement, but it was, I mean, I was a monster.
You went into beast mode.
And I made friends with the security on site. And one of them was a Bills fan. So I had him on my side immediately. Anyways, long story long, that was my weekend in Massachusetts. All right, Kurt, happy Monday. Well, is it Monday?
I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time zone I'm in right now. I'm really sleep deprived.
Well, it looks like you did make it home.
Yes, I am home. Hence the yeah, wearing the kid's school hoodie right now because, you know, yeah, back to parent life. Oh, my God. Like, so I think in the span of like 30 hours, I went from Dallas to D.C., D.C. to Georgia, Georgia to Nashville, then back to Dallas. Like, insanity. And oof. I did the, you know, the, you know, and this is everyone, and we'll talk about the serious side of the White House Correspondents Association in a second, but like, in general, people have their different approaches to how they tackle, you know, this 4 days of events. Some people try to go to everything, be seen everything. I'm the type of person that if I've seen you once or twice, I really don't need to see you the third, fourth, or fifth time. And so I generally bail on the actual, like, day of events, dinner. Yeah, I know.
But I love that, Kurt. You're like, if I've seen you, I'm over it. Moving on with my
moving
time.
On. I mean, you know, so like, you know, I did Thursday, Friday. You know, like, did the, some parties. I was, you know, I'm on the host committee of one of them, and then did TV, and then bounce. Actually, Friday, you know, at the UTA party, which is full disclosure, that's my agency that reps me. The most what's so fascinating as a political nerd about this weekend, it is under one roof. At the same party, you look to your right, there's Brian Kilmeade, Kellyanne Conway. You look to your left, there's Mehdi Hasan and Katie Turr. You look straight forward, there's Stephen A. Smith, who as a sports person, and Stephen A. evokes a lot of strong emotions by people. I've always been a big Stephen A. fan. I respect his hustle. I respect, you know, game recognizes game. And he is, whether you like him or not, just one of the most interesting talkers, I think, of the current era that we're in. He has become the face of ESPN. And so I always find him to be very fascinating. We actually have one random thing in common. We are both on the back of a book jacket because our mutual friend wrote a book about mental health, who's also the star of the soap opera General Hospital, which Stephen A. has a reoccurring character role on. And so, like, we have that random commonality. But, you know, he's one of my talking hero, so I was really excited. He was the only person I was excited to meet with, and the only person who I actually got a picture with over this stretch. And then I bailed. I did TV, then I bailed.
You got a photo. We did take a picture on Thursday.
We took a picture. And, you know, we actually see each other in real life. Every day. We're friends. Mm-hmm. You know,
we are actually friends. We hung out with my husband. Your wife wasn't in town, but it was the three of us catching up. It was fun.
I love me some Connor time. I tried to cajole Connor to go with me, you know, so I left and went to Georgia for the Jason Aldean Luke Bryan show at Sanford Stadium on the UJ. And I wanted Connor to ditch you and go with me, honestly. Didn't happen,
and
sadly.
Instead, we had to work all weekend and we were up in Massachusetts. So, yay.
Yay.
To talk about what happened at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, I was in Massachusetts at work. I'd been working an event for about 12 hours and I was starting getting text messages like, are you okay? Are you at the dinner? And I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right?
And so neither of us were at the dinner itself.
No, no.
And certainly not trying to make this about ourselves. This is much more about the incident that happened and the fact that a gunman was able to get into the vicinity of that event, into the building, you know, into the area in front of the ballroom where the president was.
Which you think would be the most secure ballroom in the world, given the number of people that are there that require security details. Like, I don't know how that's even possible, how anyone with any type of weapon could get inside that building.
I know that the security concerns are real on this, but United States Secret Service did a great job. All of the protectees were safe. The vice president was immediately removed. The president was brought to
the for the president, location. Which I didn't quite understand that logistically.
But
how that
from
works.
A security perspective, if this is like a larger attack and they don't know what's happening, you remove the two of
you
them
just get
from
your
each
guy
other
out.
As quickly as you. No, you remove
continuity
the president and the
government.
Vice president. Yeah, to try to make sure that like, if something happens, at least they're not both together at the same exact
moment. Same time. That
right
makes
now.
Sense. Yeah. I actually get that. That makes sense.
I think when it comes to the media reaction and some of the larger people in the country, some of the larger voices like Barack Obama, to say that we don't know the motive is completely intellectually dishonest and I think disingenuous, because we have reporters who are citing the manifesto and asking President Trump directly about it. People right. believe that this is a credible enough assessment and piece of information from the alleged perpetrator that they're asking the leader of the free world on it. There's no confusion here. The only confusion and the only reason people are muddying the waters is because this was a third assassination attempt on President Trump, and they were targeting Trump administration officials. That is what the manifesto says. We can stop pretending that we don't know, and we can stop pretending this whataboutism on both sides. Polling shows that around 25% of Democrat voters believe it is sometimes justifiable for political violence. Do you know what that number is on the Republican side? 3%. It is 8x more within the Democrat Party. This is not the same thing. And if we don't start calling it out, if we don't start actually saying what it is and start identifying it for the honesty we need to give it to be able to address it and drive lightness into the dark, then nothing's going to change. Then there will be another attempt on the president. And at what point is that? Is it enough? Is it enough? Like, you don't have to like Donald Trump, but you don't have to wish he would die either. People are tweeting, oh, you missed again. You have people questioning what the motive is. The motive is trying to take the president and his administration officials out. And it is only happening continuously to Trump and this administration right now. And we have to call it out for what it is. It is continued left-wing violence against the president. And it has to stop.
Listen, I take no issue. And I don't think it's a hard thing for anyone to say that has a functioning brain. Violence against, you know, our political leaders, not okay. Like, period. Like, there's no qualification, no qualifier, no but, dot, dot, dot. Like, no, it's not okay. This is what's supposed to separate us from all the other types of governments, is that we are supposed to be able to have peace. We are supposed to disagree without resorting to violence. We are supposed to be a country that can be led by people we disagree with for periods of time and use our ability to vote as our protest, not bullets. Like, it's supposed to happen at the ballot box, not with bullets. I firmly believe that. I felt that way after Pennsylvania, after the golf course thing. We can have a separate conversation about security, and protocols and all that over here. Yeah. But fundamentally speaking, violence is, in fact, I actually believe, and this is speaking as someone who pretty much disagrees with Donald Trump on everything, I believe that when you use violence, you only embolden that which you are trying to take down. You only make stronger that which you're trying to destroy. I felt that way after 9/11. You know, those who wanted to end our way of American life, you only united us, made us stronger, more determined to live out our American existence rather than trying to tear it down. I feel that way about Donald Trump. I think that there is this penchant for those who are ideologically different to make light of or gloat or take, you know, cheap shots in these moments. I think it is, it only perpetuates this cycle. I felt that way, frankly, after a lot of Republicans, including Donald Trump, made light of the attack on Paul Pelosi. I'm not saying it's the same thing as trying to assassinate the president. I'm just saying, when you make light of violence that is, you know, inspired in part by politics, it can boomerang on you at some point too. And I've always said you promote what you permit. If you are okay or cheering or making light of violence against Donald Trump or any of the Trump administration officials who were there, then you don't get to get upset if you make light of something when it happens to your side too. This is one of those times where we should all be Americans and recognize that. I can't think of anything more destructive for our politics and, frankly, more destructive for the Democratic Party than if someone were to actually succeed in assassinating the president of the United States. Like,
I take your points about, like, if you don't call it out all the time, then you, like, right? Like, the equality argument you're trying to make here, like, if you're celebrating it here, you can't celebrate it here. I will push back on this, though, and I will tell you, we're not acknowledging the reality here. that we have people who are saying they don't know what the motive is. It is abundantly clear what the motive is. It was to take Donald Trump and his administration out. That is the headline. And instead, you're seeing plenty of journalists run around now and try to make this about what happened to them in the ballroom and what they experienced and what they're like. I understand that had to be a very difficult night for a lot of friends of ours. But you know what the story is? There was a third assassination attempt on the president and plus administration officials on his life. There's no question about it. So for Obama to tweet, we don't know the motive. But for reporters to know there's a manifesto and to ask the president about that manifesto, you know what? Start calling it what it is. It's continued attempted assassinations and violence against Donald Trump and Republicans. They weren't going after the journalists in that room. They weren't going after the Democrats in that room. That shooter was going after the Republicans and the Republicans only in that room for standing with Donald Trump. Start calling it out for what it is, not anything else. We don't have to question what it is. This was an attack against Trump and Republicans. That's the honest truth.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. And I was.
But the media does. I've seen headlines everywhere. We don't know the motive. We know the motive. We know.
I think it's pretty clear. Again, my only question in the immediate aftermath of it was, who was the target, right? Because you just don't, you know, it's a room full of media. Any one of them, in theory, could have been a target.
In the immediate
right?
aftermath, yes.
But 24 hours later, it seemed pretty clear. You know, once they you know, released the name and, you know, the guy from Torrance, California, I'm not going to say his name.
Not worth repeating.
You know, then I think the picture becomes pretty clear as to, you know, what was going on here. And I just don't think that anyone, I don't care what party or what side of this you're on, should be afraid to recognize something and call it what it is. It's the only way that we can ensure that it doesn't keep happening. And I think, I said this after Pennsylvania, and I'm saying it now. Everybody needs to take, a real examination at where we're at in this country and ask them, especially if you are in elected office and have a position of power or a platform or more amplified voice, of what can you do or what have you done that either paved the way for people to start acting this way, to, you know, to not self-police your own side of the aisle. I just believe that if you are one of those people right now who's either denying what this is or making light of it, I don't care what you have to say about it when it happens to your side. Like, that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another question. Do you think they should reschedule it this year? Do you think they should try to do it again?
I don't think they should try to do the same event at the Washington Hilton. This aside, I've always felt that this event is stupid. I've always felt that this event is, you know, a bunch of self-congratulatory, egomaniacal blowhards wearing tuxedos, toasting themselves masters of the universe when so many of them there suck at their job and have done a horrible job of being stewards of information, fact. Don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I apply that to blanketly almost everybody in that room. You know, people who trade on information, hold things back when they have a book deal. You know, don't give, you know, journalists, and I say this generically, I'm not targeting any one person or any one side, but they have a very holier than thou self-righteous streak about them, as if they have this great calling. And so many of them actually, when it comes down to it, they sell out their audience. They know perhaps that there are questions about Joe Biden's mental fitness, but because they got a book deal, they're going to hold off on that and not drop those contextual information bites until it's time to do their book tour. It's like, I have a huge issue with that. You're not a journalist at that point. You're a whore for money. Just own it. If you would own it, I'd respect you actually, but they don't. You know, if you are refusing to just tell people the truth, and ask us instead to defy what we see and hear and know with common sense, like, you're not a journalist, you're part of a propaganda machine, whichever side of the aisle that might be. I think that there's nothing wrong with having an event that celebrates the First Amendment, that recognizes, you know, great work that's been done by that field. Every industry has some version of that. I certainly don't think that. I just don't think you need to do it in a giant ballroom in tuxedos necessarily. I have no problem if they do something in the next 30 days where they, you know, continue handing out those awards, you know, recognizing excellence in your field I have no problem with inviting the president to be there and to be a part of that event. If he accepts it, that's great. You know, so there's that part of me that does believe that don't let an act of terror, if you will, stop you from doing what you were going to do. But yeah, this is also a moment to look at how can we make it better? Like, that's what I would like to see happen.
Yeah, I think to your point, not letting like the terror define the event, right? Not letting the assassination attempt take away from what they were trying to achieve, a celebration of the First Amendment, and continuing to stand strong in the face of that threat. And to the credit of the journalists who were in that room, you know, a lot of those cameramen, no idea what was going on, but muscle memory kicked in and the reporting started immediately, right?
Yeah.
And so that, you know, with all of that going on, the work was still the focus. I do think a smaller event, maybe we don't need to try to go back to the Capitol Hilton immediately. Maybe there can be a smaller, different venue where it's a bit more, not as many people in the room just for security concerns until you can have a full year to ramp up and figure out if you want to do such a large scale event again. But I do think that, finishing it out, not letting that terror be what is the memory of that event, but continuing to celebrate the First Amendment and that, I think they can probably get that together. Maybe a few less people in the room.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many places that you could do this. I mean, that have, security protocols for high profile events. I mean, if I were them, I would do it at the Anthem actually in DC.
There's
a big space.
There's a load of good options. So
I'd like to see them do something. I just don't think they should necessarily try to replicate the White House Correspondents' Dinner at the Hilton in tuxedos and champagne, per se.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see what they decide. We will be back again later this week. Rate, review, subscribe, share, join, review. Rate,
please like us.
Like us.
Give us good reviews.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. So, we'll see you on Thursday, and hopefully we'll be talking about some other things.
Cool. All right. Talk soon.
Party on, party animals.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.